Well, let me say good morning to Assemblyman Greg McGuckin. How are you?
I'm doing great, Kevin. How are you today?
All right. How does it feel to be introduced as Assemblyman as opposed to Councilman?
It is a little different. I look over my shoulder and see if there's somebody standing behind me. looking for Dave Wolf or something like that.
You were a council member in Tom's River for, I believe, 11 years or so, if I'm close.
About eight and a half.
Eight and a half. All right. I'm only off by 2.5 for me. That's pretty good. And decided to run for assembly this past number. Were elected. You were elected. And you took your oath of office within the last couple of weeks. I guess your tenure now, what, about a week and a half?
About 10 days so far. I know the men's room is.
So how big of an adjustment is it? Let's be honest. You go from being a councilman in the town you live in and where everything is right around the corner to now a guy that has to get familiar with Trenton, New Jersey.
Obviously, the whole process is different and the way things work. And right now I'm concentrating on making sure I know how the process works. In Tom's River, you know, after a few months being a councilman, obviously I knew how the process worked, who to go to for particular issues. And I'm feeling my way through it right now. We have a great staff in our 10th Legislative District office. And of course, Dave Wolf's been tremendously helpful to me. He's been there a long time. And Jim Holzapfel, our new senator. So it's going well.
From the time you're elected until November to about 2 months later, what really are you doing to prepare?
There's some orientation things. We have to go up to Trenton and find out, you know, where to go to sit and where the men's room is, as I said. Some issues, you know, briefing issues, that kind of thing. And basically setting up their office staff and closing out my business on the Tom's River Council.
What motivated you to seek higher office? I know you work in Ocean County, you're an attorney in Ocean County and offices in Lacey Township. So you're pretty much comfortable, as you said, in the setting. What made you decide to seek Trenton?
Well, you know, in my job and also as a councilman, I deal with things so often where I feel like I've done as much as I can at the local level to try to address situations. Clearly, there's another level of government that really impacts us much more than we believe and may actually think. And I thought I'd have an opportunity to see if I could go up and see if I can make a difference and hopefully make things better for the 10th District and for Ocean County.
The 10th District... I know Tom's River. What are primarily the towns you serve? I know a bunch of smaller ones, but geographically.
Well, the three largest would be Brick Township, Tom's River, and Manchester. And then it runs from Point Pleasant Beach up at the inlet down to Seaside Heights and then along the Route 37 corridor. So you go Island Heights, Seaside Heights, Lavalette, Manilocan Bayhead, Point Beach, Tom's River, Brick, Manchester.
And I think your legislative office is in Brick, correct?
Yeah, right on Route 70 in Brick. I call it the old Laurelton Circle, but of course not a circle anymore. But yeah, right there.
So, I mean, do you see yourself, your primary responsibility is to represent the constituents of your district or more general in what you think is best for the state in itself?
My first and foremost goal is to assist our residents dealing with the state government. I think constituent service is the hallmark of any good legislator. And that's something that I really hope to focus on as I go forward.
All right, now listen, in the last hour, I know this is one you can do nothing about, but I'm going to honor the request of one of the listeners who is very frustrated over the fact that when you serve on jury duty, you only get $5 a day. And even if it goes longer, you only get up to 25 or so. I think it's $40, actually, which is still less than minimum wage. Can you do anything about that?
Well, unfortunately, in this day and age, that's not going to change. There's just no money for anything, including jury duty, I'm afraid. Listen, I get the same complaint from family members and friends who get called to jury duty. And, you know, I've been called myself once, and it's not a lot of fun. But listen, this is a democracy. It's an important part of our democracy. And we don't want people going to jury duty so they can get a check, because that'd be the wrong motivation.
You come in at an interesting time, obviously. I guess you could make that statement about any time in the last decade or so. But the state's sort of on the forefront with the governor's State of the State speech just last week. The bombshell to many was the 10% tax cut. And, of course, I think even you'd agree, in today's social networking day where things get out very quickly, that was one that surprised quite a few people from the governor. And, of course, now you're getting the follow-up in which people are saying, well, that's great. Where is it coming from? Isn't it just going to raise something else? What can you tell us about what his thoughts are on that, which obviously will become a political issue?
Well, I firmly believe that you starve the beast, and I think our state government has gotten so out of whack with our expenditure side of the ledger, And I believe that if there's not enough money, that's the only way you can force prioritizing of the things that need to be done. There's a difference between a want and a need. I learned that as an elementary school student. And I believe our state government has too often addressed wants and not needs. And it forces government to focus and to focus on what has to be done, what services should we provide that need to be provided to our residents. And quite frankly, I think the governor's agenda over the last 2 years has forced every form of government, from the state level to the counties to the local governments, to do just that. Let's face it, if Chris Christie had not been elected 2 years ago, you know, where would we be today? And I often think about what would have happened. Would there have been a 2% cap? You know, I kind of doubt it. Would there have been pension reform? I don't think so. So I think if you have to set the bar, and then you have to adjust and fill the needs, not the wants. And I think that's always going to be a struggle in government between those who want it to expand and want more services and more expenses paid versus those who believe it should be smaller.
Can I ask you this? Can you describe your relationship with the governor? How familiar are you with one another?
Well, governor and I actually have known him approximately 26 years or so. We attended law school together, sat down in my very first class in my first day of law school, and sat right behind him, actually. And in law school, you go through sections. So there's three sections in our law school class, and we were in the same section from that forward for the entire first year. You know, so I got to know him pretty darn well, and been friends for many, many years. He took a different path, obviously, into law enforcement, and I got the chance to deal with him over the years. And he was very gracious to me as a U.S. attorney. He came down to swear me in, I think, at least three times on the times of council, and I always remember that, and I thank him for that.
So you have a relationship that's not just a business relationship, but you would say you are personal friends.
Yeah, I mean, we're not hanging out for the Giant game today, but yes.
But if he invited you, you would have gone, right?
You're darn right.
Does that make it, is that an advantage? I mean, I guess there's pros and cons in that, because I've got to believe, even in the era of partisan politics we live in, there might be things that come up that you don't agree with him.
That's true. And that will be a problem. And, you know, the governor... you know, he thinks strongly about issues, as do all of us in the legislature. And, you know, we haven't had that problem yet, so we'll address it when it happens. And I can say is I'm doing my best.
We're only 10 days in, right?
That's exactly. Thank you.
All right. Listen, I have a lot of other things for the assemblyman, but this will always be this your opportunity to talk to Assemblyman McGuckin at 732-237-9626. We've got a couple of people on hold, so let's honor their wishes and bring George in. And George has a question for the assemblyman. George?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. One, when a bill is introduced, like the last legislature, and then it ends, does it have to be reintroduced, or can you, you know, do you, is it like on hold and it just has to be reintroduced as a different bill number, like, basically?
You're absolutely correct. It dies, it's over, it cannot be acted upon unless it is reintroduced by a legislator. Okay. In the new session.
Well, I'd like to ask you, will you reintroduce the bill to repeal the toll increase?
I am actually looking at that right now. I was very vocal, both with with Governor Corzine, as the initial plan was shot down, thankfully. I mean, I remember the hundreds of people in the old Rataqua Center screaming and yelling at the governor that day, Governor Corzine at the time. The issue becomes, and I've had some discussions on this already and doing some research on it, the issue becomes those bonds have been sold, and there are bondholders that have a legal obligation that has to be paid.
Right, but the bill says, if you read it, is it says that, you know, it says repeal the toll increase. You know, of course, those bills, bonding does have to be paid for, but it says the excess money that, you know, because obviously not all the money was for bonding. It was going to go to the ARC tunnel. It says the money that was going to go to the ARC tunnel will be used to decrease the toll increase, you know, so that, you know, like if it costs you $3 million for bonding and you've got $75 million, you know, that should have gone to the ARC tunnel, that money, instead of going into a huge toll increase of 53% on the turnpike and 50% on the turnpike, you know, it might bring it down that we only get a 10% increase on the toll hike.
I firmly believe that it is inappropriate for the residents of Ocean County to pay tolls to drive north and south on the Garden State Parkway or the New Jersey Turnpike. Toms River in particular, and Brick. Toms River is number one, and Brick is number three in the number of EasyPass customers in the entire system. And to me, that means we're paying twice. We're paying to use those roads to go north and south, but that money is being siphoned off and used other places, including into other state highways and federal highways in the state.
Right.
That's inappropriate. It's double taxation and not right. And I am exploring ways that we can work on that
to eliminate. And are you going to co-sponsor Senator Daugherty's plan at the school funding thing?
I can't say that I'm going to co-sponsor because he's a senator and I'm an assemblyman.
Well,
but I am aware of it. And
ACR 197 is the assembly version. ACR 197, and I believe that both the assemblymen, you know, Hatzefeld has now gone on to be senator, but I believe that both of them, I think one of them was a sponsor and one of them was co-sponsor. Wolf was a sponsor, and Hatzefeld was a co-sponsor of that bill.
It's Holes Affle, but let the assemblyman answer that, George. Hold on.
Okay. The answer to that is I have not fully vetted the bill yet. I anticipate that if that got to the floor, you can have no doubt in your mind that Greg McGuckin is going to vote for it. I think the current funding formula is absolutely inappropriate.
Right, and we get Ocean County $260 million more just because of that.
I completely agree. I've seen it from the local level. I understand completely how the out of whack it is. And I can tell you, if any type of bill like that got to the floor, I'd be voting for it. The key is to get it on the floor, and that's going to take a lot of work. I believe in Senator Daugherty's bill. I think it makes an awful lot of sense. But like I said, I just want to make sure before I co-sign anything or jump on anything, I want to make sure I understand its ramifications completely to my district and every town in my district.
Right.
And I'm working on that.
You're going to answer to us instead of Governor Christie when it comes to that, right? Like if someone gives you knuckles down on you and says, hey, I'd rather have my 10% income tax decrease rather than this, you know, this distributing of money equally to all students, you know, which would you come down on?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't think we've met, but if you ever saw me, I'm not afraid of somebody coming up to me. I'm a pretty big guy, so I'm not worried about anybody trying to knuckle down on me. I have full faith and confidence in people of the 10th District. If I represent their interests, they're going to reelect me, and that's what I care about, and I intend to do what's best for their interest.
Governor Christie sometimes at town hall meetings and stuff gets down on people and tries to intimidate them, so I was just curious on how you would react to him. But all right, well,
thanks, George. I appreciate it. I think he did a good job of answering your questions. You know, you mentioned
thank you
the tolls. That is a real big issue for those in Ocean County, is it not?
It is. You know, when we were we remember Governor Corzine's first plan, which was an 800% increase in the tolls. I don't know if you were there that day, but I was at the Utaco Center. People were ready to, you know,
politely. It was ugly.
It was very ugly. And, you know, we had a chance to meet with them as elected officials beforehand. And I can tell you it was just as ugly in that smaller room between the freeholders and the mayors of Ocean County, having a discussion with Governor Corzine at the time. And I think that was just a prelude to what happened later in the day. It's absolutely unfair. We pay to use our roads and we're paying to fund other roads. And, you know, you live in Somerset County and you want to go to Newark, you're not paying a toll to go to work. Our residents do. And I think there's so many avenues within our state government where that is not factored in, whether it's affordable housing, for instance, DEP regulations, and then try to get the state to improve Route 9. It's just been going on for decades, and the fight continues. I mean, we're never going to give that fight up. And although there have been many efforts to stall us and to stop us, we are never going to give that fight up.
Let's go to Jack from Jackson. He's been patiently waiting. Jack, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. If the question has already been covered, I'll apologize in advance. But I've been wondering, how is it that there was such opposition to accepting federal funds for infrastructure repair when, as I remember, driving around Jackson and Lakewood, the roads and the streets are in horrible shape. What was the specific reason not to accept federal funding for the improvement of the roads?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to. I understand the governor rejected the funding for the ARC tunnel.
When President Obama suggested an infrastructure as part of his jobs program, Governor Christie was in strong opposition to it, as were some other state governors in various states. And I just wondered why.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not too familiar with President Obama's proposals. All I can tell you is that as we struggle in New Jersey with the government that's gotten out of hand as far as our expenses are concerned, I think it's a fair comment to say that the federal government has gone down that slope also. And I think there's a large pushback from the states to the federal government saying, wait a minute, you're putting us way too far in debt. Everything sounds great until you got to pay for it. And My guess is that that's what those comments were about. But quite frankly, I'm just not familiar in detail with the particulars of it.
Okay. And if I may ask very quickly, in terms of controlling pensions for state and municipal employees, has anything been suggested to end the policy of pension padding on the part of policemen and or state troopers who reach the last couple of years of their employment and whose pension is determined by the overtime that they put in the last couple of years?
I have not seen anything in my first 10 days. I know there was an effort to address that in the last session, but I have not seen anything in the first 10 days. That doesn't mean someone didn't introduce something yet. A lot of bills get introduced. I have not waded through all of them yet. There's a few hundred that you want to read and make sure I understand before I comment upon them. So
I thank you very much. I appreciate the somewhat touchy question, but I appreciate your time and response.
Thanks, Jack. Have a great Sunday.
Go Giants, Kevin.
Listen, this is not political. I think you'll find that on both sides of the party, we'll agree on the Giants.
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jack.
Stay well, my friend.
All right, 732-237-9626. We're back to the phones in just a minute. So